The other day, my wife was reading the paper and came upon an ad for a wildlife rehabilitation organization. "Listen to this," she said. $50 feeds a single baby squirrel for a day for an average stay of 80 days. Gee, how many squirrels do you think they'd drown for $50? She didn't mean it, of course. She's not a hard-hearted person. She was merely expressing, somewhat sarcastically, the antagonism that homeowners and bird lovers tend to harbor towards these arboreal rodents. Squirrels, after all, can cause extensive damage if they get inside your house, and most of us have fought frustrating and usually losing battles trying to keep them away from our bird feeders, even as we harbor a grudging admiration for their resourceful persistence. I confess to sharing these mixed feelings towards squirrels, both the red and gray varieties, especially this time of year when they're so visible and active. Yet every now and then I manage to escape my adversarial relationship with them, step back, and simply experience them for what remarkable and fascinating critters they are. This fall, for instance, there's been an extraordinary abundance of red squirrel activity around our house. I watch them skittering their interrupted, jerky way up and down the pitch pine trunks and across the deck railings. As they leap, they give little flutters of their whole bodies, as if simulating flight. Red squirrels are smaller and much thinner than gray squirrels, with shorter, reddish hair and thin tails, more like a rat's. They also have a more high-strung personality, more confrontational, as if they have something to prove. This past month, they were unusually visible and audible, perched in the pitch pines, stripping the cones and scattering the sharp-tipped scales on the deck and walkway so that I walked outside barefoot at my peril. This morning, I walked out the drive to get the newspaper. A little red squirrel was chittering and scolding away in the pines above the mailbox. He looked like the skeleton of a squirrel, emaciated, at a time when all animals should be bursting with fat. Instead, he burst with calls, squeaks, chatters, and rattles, and dashed madly about with comic anger from branch to branch. He made two distinct but intertwined sounds, a short, high vocal squeak followed by a more guttural chitter. These two calls alternated in rapid-fire staccato, almost simultaneously, as though one were the aftersound or the report of the other. Red squirrels scold with their entire light frames. Voice and body seemed to be one. Each squeak sent a shiver of excitement down the bones of his tail, and he braced his little claws anew on the branch before uttering the next one. Each sudden dash from branch to branch was also accompanied by a quick series of yelps and chitters, cutting a sharp and vocal zigzag pattern through the branches. I couldn't help but laugh at his antics. He seemed as irritated and resentful of me invading his space as I am when he is at the bird feeder. In fact, so oddly contagious was his scolding that I suddenly found myself yelping and leaping after him. This seemed to discombobulate him. He froze for a few seconds, but he didn't scare. It's such sympathetic moments as this that allow me to keep a certain tolerance towards squirrels and their thieving and destructive behavior. Well, at least until next spring, when they begin to nest in the trees near the house, and I start to wonder, how many baby squirrels?